You are now listening to Bullhook Golf, an unfiltered golf podcast taking you inside the ropes with unfiltered stories, insights, analysis, and exclusive interviews. Hey everyone, before we dive into today's episode, a quick word from our sponsors. Swannies is here with a fresh take, premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.co. And for all our Bullhook Golf listeners, you get an exclusive 25% off using promo code BullhookGolf25 at checkout. Now enjoy the episode. Welcome back, everybody, to Bullhook Golf, the podcast. We've got golf influencer and engineer Summer Willis with us. Now, Summer, she is a golf influencer on Instagram. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do. She is at Summertime Golf on Instagram and on TikTok. She has accumulated over 130,000 followers on Instagram. That is let's just put it this way. That is a very impressive feat, okay? And then 44,000 on TikTok. You are now starting to break into the YouTube space. And as we discussed off air, and as we moved into bringing you on to the Bullhook Golf podcast, really wanted to start to get that feel from you as far as, you know, your personality, because on some of the Instagram videos and everything, you really are shining in terms of the fun that you're having, the golf shots you're hitting, and everything's great, but we don't hear from you all that often. So this is a great opportunity to welcome you in and have a conversation with you. So first off, Summer, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much. Thanks for the intro. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm excited to kind of show my personality some more and talk about golf with you.
Summer, how did you get into the game of golf? So let's start there, because now you got a pretty interesting story, being an engineer and then becoming a golf influencer on Instagram. So there's that dynamic, and we'll dive into that later on in this episode. But I want to start off, what was your path into the game of golf?
Yeah, so I come from a big golf family. My mom and dad golf, and my dad really introduced me to the sport at quite a young age. And I wouldn't say it was something that I instantly loved, especially when I was younger, right? It is more of a male-dominated sport, and so it wasn't as cool back then as it is now. So over the years, I've always golfed on and on throughout my life, but now I'm obsessed with the game once again. But my family's the one that formally introduced me.
That's really cool. I've got a similar background to it, to where my aunt was actually the one that introduced me to the game of golf. And it all came because we were a big sports family, but nobody played golf. And sure enough, one Thanksgiving, she was changing the channel on us, changing it from football over to a skins game that was going on, where Tiger Woods had just come out on a tour. And I believe he was playing in the skins game. I was young enough to where she certainly started to give some nice little jives at us, to where we were like, what are you talking about? Golf is boring. And sure enough, she got me into the game of golf by challenging me out in the backyard to actually go hit a golf ball. And when I did a couple times and hit it really well, she was like, you're playing golf. I don't care what your dad says or anybody else. We're going to go get you a set of golf clubs. And I became addicted thereafter. So having your family introduce you to the sport, I mean, certainly you talked about it. You kind of grew up playing golf, but then got away from it a little bit. I mean, what was that path like to get back into it? Because one of the areas that we're going to talk about is your engineering background, because that was really interesting to find out about you in the first place, that not only are you a influencer on Instagram, but you also have this degree, you're an engineer, and you're really intelligent. Like, we had a conversation off air leading into this, and my goodness, I was sitting there going, wow, you're really, really intelligent. Like, you don't necessarily see that all of the time with some of the influencers that are out there. It's more looks, and, you know, let's be honest, it's a lot of times it comes down to looks for female golf influencers that are rising up to the scene. But really, for you, it's about personality. You're really intelligent. Like I said, I can't say that enough, folks, because you're going to hear it throughout this interview. But what are some of the challenges that took place between, you know, getting into the game of golf, leaving it for a little while obviously getting your engineering degree and everything, and then coming back to it? What was that like?
Yeah, well, similar to you. So I kind of grew up golfing, but I played other sports, right? I did cheerleading for a little bit. I did basketball. I did soccer. And just like you, right? It was kind of like a by force thing a little bit because my dad was like, you have this natural talent, you know, that not a lot of people have. And, you know, at the time I was like, you know, very into my education. So I was looking at golf as kind of a gateway into like these Ivy League schools at the time. You know, there's the golf scholarships, but that was very oversaturated. And so I was kind of, you know, got more serious my junior year and started to try to like dial in my scores. I was on the high school golf team. Once again, very not cool, like Bermuda shorts, boxy shirts. No one was doing it. I had a few other friends with me. But you know, it just wasn't common then.
Are you
But
trying to tell me golf wasn't cool back then? Because I played
it
on the
just
high school
like,
golf team. I thought I was cool. No, I'm kidding.
yeah, right. I mean, your own right, you know, it's like you really had to believe where I grew up that it was going to be something. But yeah, I as you said, I kind of pivoted after high school, and I just decided, you know, I either got to buckle down and do my engineering degree. I can't be like a collegiate athlete. It just didn't make a lot of sense with my degree.
Sure.
You know, there just wasn't a lot of extra time. I always played on the weekends or for fun or with my family when I saw them. So that's what kind of pulled me back out of the sport.
Okay.
And then recently, you know, I've been traveling a lot, golfing a lot more, and just realizing how much the environment has changed for golf. So that's been so exciting for me and what has kind of pulled me back into the game.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of the aspects that I kind of looked at is what are some of the challenges or barriers that you face kind of being in this golf world? And I know we're going to get into your rise to influence on Instagram here in a second, but what can you tell us about some of the obstacles of being a female in golf and starting to break through? And really, what did you see in the beginning of starting all of this?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, when I was thinking about this question, I kind of wanted to make it a bigger thing because it's like we're talking about females in a male-dominated space, right? And I feel as though I've had experience with that throughout my life, whether that be engineering or golf. And I think the way I've thought about it has changed over time. So I think what I want to say for other people that are maybe in that position is like, you can get caught up of being like, oh, I'm a minority and all of these things I'm worrying about. And oh, you know, I'm not welcome here or undervalued, right? But I think what has helped me is kind of just that mental fortitude, checking in with yourself and saying, like, I'm here for a reason, right? I have these skills and talents. And you can kind of go through life with those rose-colored glasses of like, I'm a minority, I shouldn't be here, or it's very uncomfortable. But I feel what helps me is not really delving into that, obviously nodding to it and understanding, like, you know, you're a one of few in this space and understanding how amazing that is and what kind of difference you can make. And I actually cling harder to my goals, right? So I'm like, what's my why? Why am I here? And I feel for me, it's a better use of my brain space, if you will, and my energy to just be like, what am I doing in this space? How can I make an impact positively? And I think you get positive reinforcement back when you see maybe what you did as a role model and how that impacted, right? So that kind of bolsters your why, and you start to get away from, oh, I'm a minority in this space and I'm uncomfortable, right? You're like, no, I'm kind of breaking the stereotypes. I'm coming here and I'm showing up and I'm being me. So I feel like I've had, you know, just experience in that space in a really like positive mindset. But there were times when I didn't, right? There were times where it was very uncomfortable or I really doubted myself, right? So I think you just have to go back to that and think about who you want to be, what impact you want to have, and grasp to that, and then you can get through it, you know?
You're spot on. I mean, we ran into the same thing. I mean, when creating an unfiltered golf podcast, some people did not like it in the beginning because we were talking straight about a lot of golfers out there and kind of tearing away that persona that, oh, golf is such a gentleman's sport. It's all polite and nice and everything. And me, as a former athlete for in all other sports, all of a sudden I get into golf and I'm like, guys are talking trash. The locker room talk is there. Like, there's no difference between this to a basketball team or a baseball team or a football team. I'm like, this is all very much the same stuff that goes on. And then you start to get around some of the PGA Tour guys and stuff, and you realize, oh, wow, yeah, this is not what they try to make it seem, especially at the country clubs and everything. And gosh, I've worked at a number of country clubs, and it's just like, there is not a, how do I put this? There was never a real type of atmosphere around golf. And I think that kept a lot of people on the outside. A lot of people that would look at golf and go, oh, that's interesting. But golf didn't grow because it wasn't inclusive. It was very much that boys club of, oh, the, and some people might get upset at this, but that's okay, that there was the uber rich, that only the one percenters are part of country clubs, and it's that boys club. And so you dealt with some of this. We dealt with some of it in the beginning of the podcast because people, one, didn't like to have their stuff called out on air by any means. But that was kind of our niche, right? That was what got us started. Got us a little bit of a following and everything. And now we've kind of expanded beyond just talking trash for the most part about some of the golfers and bringing in the real side to golf. But we've had people that have reached out that were like, thank you so much for letting me know that, like, I can be a golfer, that I don't have to be this perfect person in order to go and be in a golf community or go out and play golf. So I see some of the same things that come with your rise to influence on Instagram, because one of the cool things, my wife, she always tells me, she's like, oh my gosh, she's like, I never realized how cool styles there were in golf. I thought there were all these dorky outfits and everything, because she said over the past 6 to 12 months has really started getting into golf herself, has joined like a golf babes like league and everything, and golf clinics out here in Arizona. And sure enough, she's just like, man, this isn't what I thought it was at all. And you're one of those influencers that's breaking that mold. But I do wonder, in that rise to influence on Instagram, did you ever, and I know this might be a little bit off of some of the questions that I asked you, but it's kind of going towards some of the challenges and barriers that you face. But did you run into any golf courses that were like, oh, what they're wearing isn't your, you know, the ideal golf apparel, and like people complaining? Because I've actually seen that at a country club in Arizona, to where a older woman was very upset in an outfit, and we're like, no, she's following all of the standard guidelines that we have. So no, we're not going to go talk to this girl because you're intimidated or whatever. Yeah, I'm going to leave it there. Yeah. But
this is such a hot topic right now. And I mean, it's something that I personally grappled with too, right? It's like, I can understand having a dress code and, you know, at a certain country club or a certain thing, I can respect that, or having a uniform or whatever it is, right? But I think now it's like, they're trying to change it. It's a sport, right? It's like, if you're in 100 degrees in Mexico, or like, you know, you're doing an active sport. And so it has been interesting to see that. I can understand the people that are like, oh, I just don't want to see that. I'm just here, you know, with my kids, or, you know, my husband's out there. I totally understand that. But I think what we're finding is there's so many different flavors of golf now, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't have to just be one way. I think that there can be a place for everybody in golf, right? Whether it's the country clubs and they want to dress this certain way, or if, like, you know, you want to be on a public course and dress this way, or if it's hot, or wear what you want, right? But kind of showing your individuality a little bit. But I myself have grappled with that of like, okay, oh, am I showing too much? Is this not enough, right? I think every woman does. But I think more often than not, I'm like, oh, where did you get that outfit? Oh my God, that's so cute, right? Which is a gateway into the sport, you know, no matter how trivial it is. I mean, it's still fun. Like, that's part of it, right? Of showing your style and who you are. And that's kind of part of marketing, which, to be honest, if we were to relate this to a bigger thing, like, why isn't like the LPGA and some of those things, like, they're starting to get bigger purses, but there's, I think, a part of the marketing that, you know, the Instagram influencers have like tapped into, which they could really use to their advantage, you know, in a, like, in a real monetary sense, to bring some more viewers, you know?
I couldn't agree more, because the men's side to it has started to shift in that direction, to where you no longer see the classic golf shoes as much. It's a lot of Air Jordans. It's a lot of, you know, style is coming into the sport. There's brands out there like Swanee's, for instance. Now, a quick word from our sponsor. Swanee's is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days. But if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says, I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swanee side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and designs sourced from our very own weekend warriors, Swanee's is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swanees.co. And, you know, others like Malvin and I always struggle with that one in particular. But then you've got, you know, gosh, Macklemore has gone into it with his style. And there's all these different clothing brands now in golf that are actually, it's style, it's fashion. And that's what's really cool is that somebody can go out and be themselves on the golf course instead of trying to dress like somebody else. And that's what I like about where everything is shifting. And that's one of the cool things that I have to applaud you and the other females on Instagram as golf influencers, because you've really paved the way. And I think, you know, we're guys are piggybacking off of that a little bit. They're like, oh, hang on a second. They can look cool out there. So can we. Hang on a second. We're going to dress up. We're going to have some fashion out there. This is fun. And it is, but it makes it more inclusive. It brings in, oh, Eastside Golf is another one that's bringing in kind of more of an urban feel to it, which is really dope. But do tell me, I mean, when you got into Instagram, did you ever think, oh, I'm doing this and I'm going to blow up and it's going to be this huge thing as it is now? Or like, what was your experience or strategy behind it?
No, absolutely not. Like, so I started this about a year ago. Yeah, July of 2023 is when I started. And I actually just kind of started on a whim. I was actually kind of exploring, you know, the new age of marketing, which is social media, for a different business venture I had. So I was kind of just playing around, right? And then we were just golfing. And yes, we had like a professional camera and everything, right? So I just kind of started posting and playing around with it and like doing TikTok and Instagram. And I had a few videos that just went like viral, right? So I hit the explore page, millions of views. I started getting recognized at like the pro shops, the airport. And I was like, oh my God, like people are seeing this. That's so crazy. You know, and like you have a boost of followers and you're like, okay, you know, like you kind of know if something works. So I was like, okay, I think I tapped into something here. And then I quickly was like, wow, I have this platform. What value can I bring? And I mean, even still to this day, I'm still like learning and growing and evolving of like how to best use this. But social media is so powerful. And, you know, for all the haters or the comments and all the work and editing, like there's just as much good, like the people I've met, the connections I've made, like the brands I've worked with, like it has been so much fun. I mean, engineering's fun too, but I feel like this is a little more like instantaneous gratification, right? So it's different in that regard, but I've just been having fun with it, but I do think it's like extremely valuable right now. And I'm just, you know, learning as I go, learning from other creators and trying to see what kind of value I can bring. But I think just even your presence in the space is really big, right? I really believe strongly in like role models.
Yes.
And so even just I've had like little girls come up to me in the parking lot or whatever. And I'm like, that right there is like, you know, kind of part of my why, you know? I'm like, I wish I had something like that. I mean, it was like Michelle Wee for me. And I was like, oh, she's so cool. You know, like that. I was like, oh, she's doing it too. It's not just me, you know? So
that's really cool. Now, talk about the content that you create and really the message that you're trying to portray and get out there as you're talking about being a role model and everything for the youth and girls coming up to you and saying, oh my gosh, you're my favorite. So with that, what is the direction with the content? It's been a lot of swings, a lot of having fun on the golf course. I think you've really added some, you know, kind of to the point that I was making earlier about making it a collaborative kind of environment, or an inviting environment that everybody can be a part of, not just, you know, the little groups of your so-called atypical golf people, which I think is really cool. But talk to us about the content that you're creating.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many different platforms, right? We have YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and they're all a tad different and they're constantly changing. And so what I'll say today may change tomorrow. But I think once I realized I had a platform, I was like, what value can I bring? You know, okay, there's cute outfits, but then there's also, you know, your golf strategy, from ranging from beginner to advanced. So I have a few ideas that I'm thinking of right now. I have some YouTube videos I've made that I haven't posted yet, kind of me talking more about the strategy of my golf game. I'm hoping to kind of have a baseline and then show people as I get better. I really want to work on my short game. The other idea I had was doing kind of summer school of golf, where I kind of bring in my engineering or the technical aspect. Yeah. So I think there's a genre for that. There's also one for the beginner golfer, right? So like for the girls that are like, Summer, I'm just getting started. Like, you know, what do I do? What's the etiquette? So I try to arrange all of those things, as well as just like creating a nice production of just like the lighting and the golf course and highlighting just kind of my journey. So I think that's kind of where I'm at and where I'm headed, but I hope to get, you know, show my personality a little more. I've done a few girls golf trips that I really enjoyed working with other creators. So that was super fun. So I'm planning to do more of that, because I think that everyone benefits from that and we can make some really cool stuff together.
And that's really cool that you bring that up about some of the girls' golf trips, because I know the golf trips that I go on with the guys and everything, it gives everybody time to be able to bond and have those experiences and be competitive. Talk to me about, you know, as you go on these girls' golf trips, and I noticed one of the girls in your group is actually a former guest on the Pull Hook Golf Podcast, Mae Brennan. So talk to us about, you know, how did you get in with these other golf influencers? Was it all of a sudden some DMs going back and forth? Because all of a sudden, like, you girls are all up in Utah, it seems like.
Yeah. I actually. So Mae's here in Utah with me. She's a phenomenal golfer. And I would say this, like, about the girl golf community, everyone's so friendly. I'm also one of those people that's like a huge supporter. I'll reach out, hey, let's go tee it up. I love your page. You know, there's Copper Rock Golf Course down in St. George that I brought all the girls to. So they all came out here. A few of them were from Florida. And they're like, what is this Utah thing? What is going on? Is this like space, right? It was actually where you have your background. Yep. And they're like, this looks like Mars. What is going on, right? But as far as the competition goes, right, I kind of give Mae some shit a little bit, right? Because I know she's a better golfer than me. She played in college, right? So we had a YouTube video down there and I was like, you know, just talking shit and being like, oh, I'm coming for you, you know, maybe one day. But I think there's an unspoken competitiveness, because golf already is, you know, such a competitive sport against yourself and others. So it's a little unspoken thing, right? You're sizing up the other girls, see who's really a good golfer, because you don't know until you're really on the course with them.
That's true.
But yeah, it's fun for me. I'm a very competitive person, but I'm also a really friendly, nice person. But I love to do side bets. I love to just
double down. Is there some gambling going on? All right. I can resonate with that. I feel like every time I'm on the golf course, nobody lets me get out of there without gambling something. I'm like, oh, come on, guys. I was like, can't we just go out and have a nice round of golf? Because I'm uber competitive. So as soon as the money starts coming out, it's like I start breaking down people, just absolutely tearing them down. I am a trash talker. It comes from my basketball days. I will get inside somebody's head. They try to get inside of mine and it never quite works out well for them, but it usually does for me. Anyways, enough about the gambling side to it. Certainly, we've talked a little bit about some of the challenges behind being a female golf influencer. And that's the next part that I'd like to kind of dive into further, in further context. So the challenges and triumphs of being a female golf influencer. And I think you alluded to a couple already around the fact that, you know, there's not as many haters as you think. There's more people that are positive, that look at you as a role model and some of those successes. But Can you dive into anything else around, you know, maybe an example of a time that you ran into a situation with it being predominantly a male-dominated sport and how you kind of felt like, man, let's break this mold of just being this old man sport?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, online, of course, like there's, I feel like a lot of creators know this, but if anyone is mean to you online or says something, a lot of times I'll just say, like, you know, I hope you have a nice day or I hope your day gets better, right? And they almost immediately apologize, right? So as far as the online thing, it's like you kind of overcome that hurdle. But as far as like some encounters I've had, you know, there's obviously people that get maybe a little too friendly. I feel like from an early age, I was like very aware of this. And so I was always like, I don't know what you call it, like resting bitch face or whatever. Like that was always me. I was kind of like put off this energy, right? That you have, and you're kind of like, don't mess with me. I'm
Sure.
in my element, right? So I think that's kind of one tactic. You can also go the opposite way and be like, hey, I'm here and I'm in this space, and you know, here's my confidence type of deal. But I would say I've had very positive experiences in the golfing world, and I don't know, that's just because my family grew up there, and you know, it was like more of a family to me.
Sure.
But I do know that there's a lot of stories of like guys giving unsolicited advice and you know, kind of explaining things to you. And I would say to that, you know, just like just handle everything with grace and kindness. And I think if you do that, it's more of an alliance, right? So if you're just like, oh, you know, screw them, it's not necessarily changing their minds, you know? And that's something that's taken a lot of maturity for me to realize, because man, it can be annoying, especially in the engineering world where you're like, that was my idea, or I knew that, you know?
Yep.
But instead being like having a real conversation and like explaining, or like, you know, just showing up, I feel like for me is more impactful. But for the most part, I'm not, not pretty easy, I would say, but I know it's not that way for others, you
It might
know.
also be that you're in beautiful Utah, where golf is very underrated. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous out there and some phenomenal golf tracks. Like, people don't give Utah enough credit for the great golf that is out there and the beautiful scenery. As you can tell behind me, I feel like I am a advertisement for the state of Utah. Go play golf in Utah, folks. You're gonna love it. With that said, though, I definitely understand what you're talking about when it is the guys at the driving range that can barely hit a golf ball themselves, and then they see a female and they immediately think, I need to share this great piece of advice with you. Here is just a quick public announcement for all the guys that just feel the urge to go do that. Don't. Just don't. Like, if you came up to me and tried to give me a piece of advice, which this has actually happened, I had a guy one time. I was just getting back out in golf after about a year and a half hiatus. Like, when I was done with my mini tour days, I was done. Like, I stopped, I didn't pick up a club for a year and a half in my mid 20s. I was like, nope, not doing it. I'm too competitive, because every time I would try to go out and play after being done with the mini tours and taking like a month or two off, I would just get upset because I was so competitive. And I'm like, no, I should be better than this. And I would always get frustrated with it. So I took a year and a half off. And then I found drinking on the golf course, which some of my friends that were terrible at golf, they introduced me to that. And that kind of saved me a lot of ways, believe it or not. I can't stress it enough that, you know, when you're drinking and you just don't care, all of a sudden you start playing good again. And then you're like, oh, wow, okay, I found something here. But did that for a little while. Now it is back to a little bit more of, I wouldn't say serious golf, because I just took 2 months off and just went out. And here's golf for you in a nutshell, Summer. Friday, went out, shot 80. Saturday, went out, shot 68. I mean, you can't talk about golf. That is golf in a nutshell. And I was actually talking to one of my college buddies today that we played on the golf team together. And he goes, Matt, that was you in a nutshell in college. He's like, that's why we loved having you, because we knew that one of the days you were going to go low. We just didn't know which one. And then all the other days, your score wouldn't count, and that's fine. But I got off topic there. When it comes to advice, so anyways, this guy comes up to me. I hadn't played in a while, and I all of a sudden hit a couple shots, and I topped a couple. This guy comes over, and I'm telling you, this guy's swing was god awful. I watched him afterwards, and he's like, hey, can I give you a little tip here? And I had to do the entire thing where I'm like, Yeah, go for it. I'm just like, what am I gonna do? Am I just gonna tell this guy no, don't give me a tip? But anyways, he goes, I think your alignment's a little messed up. I think I'm like, did you see that from behind me? And he's like, yeah, I did. I could tell. I'm like, oh wow, yeah, okay, go ahead. 'Cause I mean, I've had golf lessons from literally I in my mini tour days was at the Butch Harmon Academy getting instruction from Butch and from the other instructors there, and I'm just sitting there going, oh no, this is what girls deal with on an ongoing basis. So public service announcement, not to make it too long-winded, gentlemen, just don't do it. It's not the time to try to hit on a girl or try to pick her up while she's trying to work on her game at the driving range. Like, that's what keeps some women away from playing the game of golf. Even my wife, like, she at the golf clinics and so forth afterwards, she'll be hitting a couple shots and she's like, somebody would just come up to me and just tell me, hey, this is what I think you're doing wrong. It's like, unless you are a certified golf professional providing golf lessons on an ongoing basis, do not just. A quick little public service announcement. So now all of you guys out there, don't do it. All right, moving on.
I would say that's really good advice. I even just the other day had someone, I posted kind of a slow-mo swing of mine, and I notoriously have a very fast, very long backswing, which is completely past parallel. I'm very aware, probably gonna crack my spine open one day. And my dad would always say to me, he'd be like, slow it down some. It's like, hey, at the top, velocity equals zero. And I'd be like, you're right, you're right. But someone in my comments was like, you're a little past parallel there. I'm like, I know that.
I have
If you
eyeballs.
can
I
tell me
can
how
see
to fix it,
it.
that we could get somewhere. But yeah, it's funny. I would say that's great advice. So if other girls are out there, just leave them alone. Let them do their thing,
Let them do their thing. You don't want some old creepy guy coming up to you trying to tell you what to do, so don't do it to her. And if you do, you might be that old creepy guy. Let's be honest. All right. Now, moving past the influencer side of things, because this is where I was blown away. I'm like, hang on a second. You're an engineer. You are a golf influencer on Instagram. How do these two things parallel with each other? I mean, you and I were talking a little bit off air that there's some ideas and stuff that you're coming up with around some different things with golf and engineering, but anything you can share with us or even just your approach to golf?
So obviously being an engineer, sometimes I do things very systematically, optimization, right? Technical, very golf, right? I would say this, and this is kind of a piece of advice I would give to most people that I found a lot of value in, whether it's golf or engineering or content creation, just like carving out time for your brain to just think and just be creative and innovative. Like that time has been the most fulfilling and valuable for me, right? Whether that's with my content creation, because there's so much content out there and you're consuming, consuming, consuming. If you just sit down and think, okay, what kind of impact do I want to have? And you just let your brain go to work about all the creative possibilities. I do that a lot in my work and just, sometimes in the morning before all the emails and all of that, right? I just sit and think like, how are there other ways to solve this problem? And just allowing that space, right? To be creative, right? Which I know people probably don't think is that common in engineering, but it really is, right? I like to do things that are very innovative. And I just find a lot of parallels between engineering and content creation, right? You design something, you think something up, and then you execute, and there it is. It's tangible, right? So that's kind of where it crosses. I'm gonna about to hopefully get a little more technical in my short game, and I would love to kind of share that journey with my followers because there is a lot of, physics and engineering that goes into golf. So I'm hoping to break that door open and kind of see where that takes me and hopefully shave some strokes off for me,
I mean, when you were talking about velocity equals zero at the top of the backswing, I'm just like, I'm in. Yeah, let's get some of that engineering talk in there. I mean, especially with short game, I could always improve mine too. So I'll be watching the videos, trying to fix my little short game issues that I got going on. Who knows? I mean, maybe Summer, you're the next big, when I look at short game, there's the short game chef. Mr. Short Game, and there's some others, but maybe you're the female version of that coming into the fold. Like, we don't really have a great female influencer in golf that helps with short game stuff. We got a couple on the guy's side, but yeah, who knows? I mean, that would be pretty interesting to see. And then to bring in kind of that engineering, that structure to it would be really neat as well. With that said, any other unique skill sets you think that really contribute to you and how you've been able to grow the Instagram following? I mean, I definitely see you with what you already talked about with the organization and optimizing everything to where you have to have this creative space. But I mean, just give our, because a lot of our audience are also on Instagram. Some of them are creating content and, you know, could really utilize some skill sets from you that could help them potentially do a little bit better with their posting.
Yeah, I have a lot of tips and tricks on this. Like I said, I'm like really nerdy and I dove into this. But I would say, you know, there's things that you can do technically to grow your Instagram. But I also, you know, want to pull back and say, like, big picture, you know, what should you do, right? So I think one of the things is like kind of be fearless, right? Like, don't care what you post. You're gonna fail sometimes. Some videos are gonna do good, some aren't. But I think what allowed me to be successful is I just didn't care. I was just like, this is me golfing. Here you go. Right. Whereas with some of the other platforms, you're like, oh, does my hair look perfect? Is this okay? You know what I mean? And so you don't post. And so I would say just go for it and try things out, meet new people, ask a lot of questions. But as far as content creation, I would say I see a lot of people that don't have high quality things. So you kind of have to cater to the algorithms, stay within your niche. High volume and high quality, you know. Other than that, I mean, there's so much that you can do with it. And I would also say collaborate with other creators. You know, most of them are so friendly. I'm very friendly, and you can learn a lot by just asking questions and hanging out together, creating things together. Consistency is another one. But I would say, yeah, stay in your niche, and you'll know whether you kind of have something that people want to look at or not, right? Pretty quickly, I feel like. So stay with it if you're really passionate about it, and you know, just try things,
You'd said
meet people, do connections, you know.
100%. You said something that I have to comment on, consistency. This is something that I preach within the podcasting space because, as you know, with algorithms and so forth, they're looking for consistent content that's constantly coming out. I focus more on the podcast side, but and I'll be honest, like our Instagram isn't near what it could be if we were as consistent with it as we should be. But that's just manpower because it's really me, and I've got one social media guy that helps out, and then really doing a whole lot else with running a podcast agency and a network on more of a business aspect. This is my fun part of my job of being able to talk golf with awesome people like you, Summer. So this is really been fantastic. So do tell me, I mean, what are some of your future plans or aspirations with this? Where do you want to see summertime golf go to?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I have thought a lot about that as it's changing so rapidly, but I find a lot of value in just like you said, talking golf, working with amazing people, meeting amazing, like innovative, passionate people has been really amazing. Working with brands that really care about their message and like, you know, kind of just being supportive of one another, that's been amazing. But bigger picture, obviously, I would like to get a little more technical. Grow my platform, meet new people, travel, go to other golf courses, and just share as much as I can, basically. Open up my personality online. My friends are like, why don't you like talk? Like, you can be funny, you can do this and that, you know? I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. I like don't say anything, you know? But it's hard for creators, right? A lot of people have a hard time being vulnerable on camera, but it's like what people want to see the most. So,
That
but
is
it's
true.
the hardest thing to give. But yeah, I would say that's kind of my goal is I want to meet more golf girls. I have a few events set up, and I want to continue to do that and bring people together so we can kind of support each other and create things. So yeah.
That's really cool. And I love you bridging the gap between just the influencer side to some golf instruction that goes along with it, because I definitely think that there are women out there that, you know, they want to try out golf. They want to give it a shot. Their guy plays golf. They're like, I want to get into it, but they don't know where to start. And sometimes having somebody like yourself to give them those tips in some of the lessons around etiquette, like you said, because some will look at etiquette and be like, oh no, I can't go onto a golf course. If I step in somebody's line or something, I don't know what I'm doing out there. Like, it can be pretty daunting in a lot of ways. And it's funny because golfing since literally junior high, it's like, you're like, wait, what? But I've had friends caddy for me out in golf tournaments in the past, and I forget how much there is to know, because all of a sudden they start walking in somebody else's line and you're like, no, get out of there. What are you doing?
And you're on autopilot. Yeah. There's a lot to know. And you're like, oh, I guess I do have this knowledge base that is not common sense.
Exactly.
And most of them are like very ridiculous rules, you know?
And I can't think of, I mean, outside of like a Paige Peranik or something like that, I just don't see there being much around. And certainly Paige kind of fits one demographic, but I really feel like having somebody that knows what they're talking about to give some of those tips and tricks and help bridge that gap between, oh, golf looks interesting too, let me go out and play. Because one of the biggest things that I've always felt as a mission is to help grow the game of golf, whether that's through innovation, technology, a podcast. I mean, all of these different things. I mean, we're breaking down barriers with this podcast to where, like I said, it started off very much so, very unfiltered, talking, like breaking down that mold of the traditional golf and bringing in the real side to it. And now, really, as we proceed with not only the podcast, but with what you're doing on Instagram and the YouTube channel that you're going to be launching, I definitely see all of those things coming into fruition to where this is going to help grow the game of golf. It's going to help even, I mean, let's also face it, because you may have a group of guys that are watching your content as well, and they might be interested in potentially starting the game of golf, and they might be intimidated by guys that they see trying to teach it because of how technical sometimes that can go. And certainly I can see where that is going to be really successful for you, because with your knowledge base, being an engineer, like, you can structure this content in a way, I feel like, to where it's going to be really easy for people to follow along and to be on that journey with you as you improve your short game as well. Now tell me, what is the weakest part of your short game?
Oh, this is so easy. Anyone who knows me knows, like, I'm like you. Sometimes I'll be a wild card, right? And like one putt, but everyone knows my putting. I'm like, I'm a three putter, four putter sometimes.
Ooh, you hate to see
it. Ouch. Yeah. I'm like, it's just like, that was my round yesterday. And then, you know, I'll pull something out, you know, but my putting and my short game. And that's why I kind of like laugh when people have anything to kind of say about my long game, because I'm like, it's pretty dialed. Like, I drive it pretty long. Like, most girls can't drive it that long. I'm like, let's just leave that the way it is. That's not really the problem right now. You know, it is interesting. I have had a lot of comments too about guys saying like, oh, I'm going to get into the game. And I wanted to say one more thing kind of about Paige, right? I think what she's done is amazing, right? Yes, there's like the sexualization, there's the marketing, but then there's also, she's giving technical. You don't just have to be one thing.
Exactly.
Right? And that's kind of part of what I'm saying. Like, just be you. If you want to wear that outfit or whatever, like, you're not one dimensional. You know, you're a whole human being. You can be an engineer, you can be good at golf, you can make it sexy. You know, it's totally fine. You know, all of it should be accepted, you know.
I couldn't agree more. And it fits Paige's personality in a lot of ways too. Like, I met Paige when she was early on in her journey, when I was in golf technology, and she came in and we shot some stuff with her, and just an overall great person. And she was down to earth, but she also got kind of like, her favorite thing was comic books and loved sports. So she can give the back and forth a little bit. And that's where the one message that I have for people, if you're aspiring to become an influencer, if you are a guy, girl, whatever, it doesn't matter in terms of like striving to achieve some type of, whether it be status or so forth as an influencer, and gaining an audience and a platform. The biggest thing that I can say is be yourself, right, Summer? I mean, you've stressed that throughout this. Like, you utilize the things that you do well, and being an engineer, tying that into the golf side, and having that unique ability to hit the ball really far. And these things are really cool to see because it's not like you're just going out and for a gimmick or whatever of not being yourself. And that's what's really cool that I see out of you. I see that from Mae Brennan as well. I see that from Paige. Like, some people will say, oh, well, she sexualized the sport and everything. Well, she's got assets that allowed her to do that. So she's still
Well,
being
and
herself.
cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, good.
Exactly. I've got no problem with that whatsoever.
Was very unsexy when I started too, you know? There's something to be said about that.
And that is part of it as well. I mean, being a good looking woman on Instagram doesn't hurt. And that's where I will say, once again, just be yourself with it. Don't be something that you're not. I see it too often, outside of obviously our conversations, and with in some of the space, if people have listened to this podcast, they probably know what I'm talking about because Bobby, my co-host on here, that comes on and does from inside the ropes and everything, has talked about some people that, they try to come off as a, let's put it this way, I'll just be frank about it. They come off as they're the greatest golfer in the world, and then it's like you're 80 over par in all of your golf tournaments. So it's like that's the tough thing with this. And that's why I say just be yourself, be real, and be vulnerable, right? Don't try to put on this persona that isn't really you. And that's where, again, I feel like you have done a phenomenal job because everything that you've put out there is from talking with you and getting to know you a little bit is perfectly in line with who you are. And I can only imagine that as you expand this and as you start to show even more personality into stuff, you're only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger because you do. You got a great personality, you're really smart, and you put out great content. So kudos
Thank
to
you. I
you.
appreciate that. You're so nice. You're really pumping me up right now.
Just speaking the truth. Now, where can, as everybody is starting to follow you that from our side of things, where can they go? I mentioned it in the beginning for the Instagram handle at Summertime Golf, TikTok at Summertime Golf. Am I right on that as well?
Yeah, my handle's the same everywhere you go. I do have a YouTube channel now with some shorts on it, and I'm starting to produce the longer form content right now.
Oh, I
So
think that's the
yeah, at
spot to be.
Summertime Golf, anywhere you go.
So on YouTube as well. That's what I was alluding to. I'm glad you picked up on that. So we've got the YouTube channel. And folks, if you want to learn more about Summer, obviously you learned a lot today, but follow her on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube. I imagine that YouTube's going to be with the longer format where you're going to be talking a bit more about your journey with the short game and with some of the basics around golf and some of the short game tips and stuff like that. Am I right?
Yep, totally.
Awesome. Well, once again, folks, this is Summer Willis. She is a Instagram, well, I can't say Instagram anymore because you're an influencer across social media. So a social media golf influencer. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with us all about the challenges, the triumphs, the ins and outs, and even giving us some tips around creating content. So that was really, really cool. So thanks again for your time, Summer. And until next time, have a
Thank
great
you so
rest of your
much.
day. My pleasure. Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to season 2 of the Pull Hook Golf Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe and go to www.pullhookgolf.com for more information.